and welcome to episode 31 of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. I am your host, Jazz Mar Jazz Bennett, mother, educator, host, and I am so excited for today's episode. You definitely are getting a treat today because we are going live on Facebook from my personal page, Jazz Mar Bennett, and we're also going live from Instagram, my business page, Jazzy Conversations with Jazz. That's Jazzy, J-A-Z-Z-I-E, Conversations with Jazz. So what I want you to do, if you haven't already, go ahead and like the page, follow the page, subscribe, and follow me for all of my upcoming episodes. For this particular episode, I have a very, very special guest. She fit me into her schedule, guys. Like, she's not in Milan currently. She's she's here with me in studio, and so I feel so honored, and I can't wait for you guys to know her more than you may already know her. You know, if you haven't purchased any of her garments, I definitely think you're going to want to take a second look at what she has to offer because she's very talented. So for episode 31, high fashion, I have none other than Miss Jasmine Hunter of J. Hunt Designs. I'm going to give her a round of applause. So, Miss Hunter, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
Very.
Don't be nervous.
I don't know what to do with my hands, you know.
You know. Yeah. Well, you know, out in podcast land, they can hear your beautiful voice. So we'll focus on the audio. Okay. And then wave to your family who's watching. If you guys are watching, you need to share this. You need to comment, you know, give her some support. Give us some support and just rock with the show. So don't be nervous. We're good. We're good. So, Jasmine, I introduce you and I describe you as a mother. I describe you as a designer. You are the owner of J. Hunt Designs. And so how would you describe yourself?
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. Is there anything that I'm missing? Because I feel like, you know, did you branch off into something else that I've missed?
No, I just kind of feel like I'm a jack of all trades. I try kind of everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think my main thing is being a mother and an entrepreneur. That's my, you know.
And you do it so well. You do it so well. So I always have to tell the story of how I met all of my guests. Because for the most part, about 95% of the guests I know, some of them have been pitched to me by other people. And I'll say, yeah, like I'll bring them on the show. We'll chat it up. And it's been magic. But Jazz, I met you. You remember how we met? How did we meet?
In fashion design school.
Yes, we did. So we met at the International Academy of Design and Technology, and I was picking my brain trying to figure out what road that was on. Like, where was that? I know it was in Tampa, it was past Del Mabry and all of that. Like, where was it exactly? Because I can't remember.
It was years ago.
And let me tell you, like, I remember at this time, I was a teacher, and I just remember saying, okay, let me do some checks off of my life's to-do list. And so being a fashion designer was something that I've always wanted to do, and it's still on my checklist. But let me tell you the life lesson that I learned from that experience. But I just remember I would get off from work like around 3, and I think we had to be to class like maybe – I feel like we were in class from like 5 to 10 something like that. Cause I remember
6 to 10
because I remember getting home like around 11 something every night and like saying, God, is this worth it? Mm-hmm. Like this was my routine. Like, you know, it was from 6 to 10. Mm-hmm. And so in the drive, it was a long drive.
And so
horrible traffic. But I just remember her being like really fast at garments and stuff, and I'm like, dang, what has she sewn before? And then when I found out, you know, she was from Polk County by way of Houston, right?
Dallas,
Texas. Mm-hmm. And so we started talking that way because Jazz is quiet. She's like incognito, but she's talented as all get out. And so we just started talking over fashion because I just saw that she was very skilled at what she did. And so what I marvel at with people is, you know, when people think about fashion designers, it's like most of the fashion designers that you see, it's not like they come in Versace or they come wearing their own designs or whatever the case may be. Like, it's in work mode. Like, you're in beast mode. It's like, it's sweats, it's hats, it's, you know, let's get comfortable and let's dig in. So I just, from that experience, I learned that I could design. I used to love to draw. Mm-hmm. But the way that they wanted you to draw, that was not the type of drawing that I, and right. See, some of you who really know me, y'all know I used to sit and draw all day in class, my women with their fashions and all of that. This was not that. It's a specific way that you mm-hmm. have to draw your mannequin and your person. And I forgot the technical term for it. And I still have my sewing bag, by the way. If you want it, you can come and get it.
I don't need nothing extra.
You don't need your nothing extra. You already got a bag of tricks. But so what I learned is fashion is so varied and wide open. Like, I would probably succeed at being a buyer. A buyer mm-hmm. is what I would probably be the best at, because I'm going to tell you, after that shirt that we had to do, my mom sold everything else. My mom sold everything else in that class for me.
You cheated.
Look, we worked together. We formed a team. Pretend like y'all didn't hear me. But so that's what I learned about myself. Like, I have an eye for fashion, and I know that mm-hmm. you have an eye for fashion. So that's our little, you know, our little background on how we met. And then I started seeing her more and more. Like, I'm seeing that her line is coming out. And before we get started into you telling us how you morphed into a designer and all things mom and all of that, I just want to personally just thank you for showing up for my baby. So, you know, I went into educational leadership, and so I was an assistant principal at two different schools in two different cities. And we would have this event called the Great American Teach-In. And with this event, you introduce your students to people of, you know, myriad occupations. And so my goal was always to keep it diverse. And I wanted people who were in careers, who were of different ethnicities that they really weren't expecting. And so I was like, no one's ever going to invite a fashion designer. I know a fashion designer. Let me call Jasmine. So I called Jazz, and she didn't hesitate to come. She came to both of the schools that I was at, and those kids loved you. Like, they never stopped ranting and raving. She brought her, tell me what you brought, because I don't want to mess up the name or anything.
I think at that time I brought, like, my sewing kit, mm-hmm. and I think I brought a computer and showed them how to sketch something. Yeah,
yes.
I let them sketch their own designs. I made them mm-hmm. design, and I used a projector so mm-hmm. they could see what they was designing. So, yeah, I try to make it, you know, I know what a kid is like, you know, so if they can't do it, if I'm just sitting there talking about measurements all day,
right.
they'd be like, lady, get out of my face.
Exactly.
You know? So I tried to think of a way for them to enjoy it, mm-hmm. you know, and made it memorable.
So and I it was. Did, so. You did. And so that's why I wanted to kind of gift you with that, because they never stopped raving about it. They were very excited about it. Like, they absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. Especially, it was like, oh, Miss Bennett, we got to draw. And da-da-da-da, Miss Jasmine taught us how it's like you did. So, thank you for pouring into the youth of Polk County. So, just be on standby for another event.
Anytime.
Okay. So, we're going to start off. I want you to start off with telling us all things mom, because for the entire month of May, you are my last episode. Episode 31 is the last episode for my May catalog. And for the month of May, I wanted to spotlight all of the dope mothers that I know out there. And so you're a mother, and I love the things that you're doing with your kids. You know, like, did you ever see yourself being a mother? And describe to me what being a mother means to you.
I always saw myself being a mother. I just always did. The number in the beginning was vague.
Okay.
My husband would say, I said I wanted five. I don't remember that. But yeah, I always wanted to be a mother. And for me, motherhood navigates everything that I do. Mm-hmm. Motherhood is the reason why I became an entrepreneur in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we went to school together. When I was going to school, I was working full time. I was a mm-hmm. supervisor at a retail store.
Okay.
And I would go to school at night, like you, from 6 to 10 every day. You know, me and my husband, like, ships passing in the night. We never saw each other. This was before I had any children. So once I had my first child, I did kind of the same thing, worked all the time. But then when I had my second child, I was like, I want to spend more time with them. So that's really what pushed me into entrepreneurship, into doing something with my degree, into becoming a fashion designer, because I wanted to be home and have the flexible schedule to do what I wanted to do with my children and not have to ask for permission to be off
or right.
whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's really, motherhood really dictates everything that I do.
Yeah.
Because they're first. Even though I want to be this world-known fashion designer,
yeah.
either way, if they have something going on a Thursday, I'm going to be there. You know,
yeah. So you are the type of mother that's going to show up to every event.
Everything.
You going to come with cookies and all that for the class?
I don't know about doing? I don't like to bake. And right. I'm going to show up for okay. my kids and I'm going to yell for my kids. Yeah. You know? But if they ask me to do something, I'll mm-hmm. do it. But, yeah. you know, I'm definitely going to show up.
Are you more of like the sports mom? Or
very much. Mm-hmm. So much so that when my daughter got into cheerleading, I became a cheer coach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
let me find out.
Yeah. I've been coaching for like 5 years mm-hmm. now. Like, so as long as she's in it, I'm in yeah. it. You know, if she
That's good.
Goes out of it, you may not see me doing it. You may do something else. But yes. yeah, everything I do yeah. is really, you know, mm-hmm. around them. You know, I think it's yeah. because I didn't have my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom passed when I was five, mm-hmm. so I didn't always have, you know, for me, a mom is your biggest cheerleader.
Yes.
You know, no matter what you do, they're going to show up, they're going to be loud, yeah. they're going to be quiet, they're going to have that support. I never had that. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's why being a mother is so important to me, because I want to be for my kids what I never had.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that you are doing that. I just know, I remember vaguely, like, you would do like the mommy and me outfits and all of that. Like, talk to me, like, was it just fun? You just wanted to dress them up, or that was just like your venue or your avenue to get your passion out and become mom?
It was kind of both. I mean, she was my first daughter, my second child, my first daughter. So I wanted her to dress like me,
yeah.
you know, and that was when I was first getting into the fashion scene. So I thought it'd be cute to do mommy and me. Nobody else yeah. was doing it.
Right.
You know, so I was like, might as well. I mean, I got the, got a little model right here, you know, and she has a lot of personality. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, both worlds always work together. Mm-hmm. Like, it just always happened that way.
Good. Does she, do any of your kids aspire to be in fashion? Like, do they look forward to being like your mannequins or anything like that?
My daughter.
Your daughter
She's
does.
Like a mini me. Mm-hmm. Like, she was the model. Now I'm teaching her how to sew.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to teach her. So that she doesn't have to get the debt that we had.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
Jess, like, seriously. And not time out, because for real, I tell this story and people think I'm lying. Like, I promise you, I think I racked up, like, $10,000 worth of debt, like, in one semester.
Right.
Like, I didn't even do, like, a whole year. I yeah. did one semester. And I'm like, I went to school on, like, a full ride. So it's like to come home. Mm-hmm. And my family was looking at me like, Jess, what are you doing? Right. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I tried it. But you're the second person on my show who has matriculated from that academy and who's doing big things, because one of my friends is a interior designer okay. and she has her own business in terms and is working in corporate America too. So the school is a very good investment, but it's high. Now we know right. we're gonna tell you that it's cheap. It is so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that, you know, you should be about debt free though. You've been moving, you've been shaking, you've been moving, and you've been consistent, which I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people really, really love. And before we segue into what you have going on with your career, you had twin baby boys. Talk to me about your journey with your babies.
It was a journey.
It was a journey. Like, it was the ins and outs of the journey. Like, were you trying for the babies or baby?
I think we were trying for one more.
Okay.
And we found out we were pregnant. It was our third time, so we just thought we were pros. We didn't go to the doctor. We just waited till it was almost time. You know, like, yeah. we know what they're going to say. They're going to, you know what they're going to tell us to do. So I took the prenatals, did all that. So we waited until I think I was about 3 or 4 months to go to the doctor.
Oh, you're saying before you even went to the doctor?
Right. We didn't go. Like,
oh, hell, Jazz. You really thought you were like, you thought you were.
I thought I was an OG. I thought I was like, this baby number three.
Yes. Okay.
You know, okay. But this one threw us for a loop. We went to the doctor, did the ultrasound. Mm-hmm. We saw two little things moving, shook our world.
Oh, my God.
Because we never thought it was going to happen. We said it as a joke.
Right.
You know, like, we got a boy and a girl, so whatever the next one is, it doesn't matter, as long as it's not twins. You know, God got a sense of humor,
He
gave us twins. But, you know, this pregnancy was definitely changed my life. I went through a lot of things. I was hospitalized mm-hmm. for 3 months up until they were born. So I was in the hospital in the ICU for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was alone. It was during COVID. So my kids couldn't. So I didn't see my kids for 3 months.
Wow.
My husband could only come after work. So I would only mm-hmm. see him for maybe two or three hours
mm-hmm.
Every other day when he was able to come. But yeah, I it was really hard.
Yeah.
You know, they told me to terminate my pregnancy because I wouldn't make it and they wouldn't make it. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was really a trying time for me. But, you know, my faith is so strong. I was like, God wouldn't give me twins
right.
for me to terminate them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think I would be able to live with myself had I did terminate them and went home. So,
but even with them saying that it was a risk to you, your faith was so strong that you yeah. went ahead.
Yeah. Even if it would have cost me my life, I wasn't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come to terms with that. You know, it was a lot of nights of crying and begging and pleading. And I know I gave those nurses a problem
mm-hmm.
and them doctors, you know, to the point where I knew so much about my situation.
Yeah.
And they couldn't just tell me to do this. I'm like, well, can you explain this to me? And mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And this and that. Like, did you go to medical school? No.
No.
No. But I know what was going on with me. Yeah. So, but yeah.
Were you sitting there like researching on your phone? Yeah, and like that was your daily routine and ritual to do?
And then every time they would take tests, I would see what my results were.
Mm-hmm.
If something was wrong, I would call a doctor and say, hey, this is down.
Yeah. We should
raise this dose. And
Dr. Jazz, let me find out.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you. It was a time, like, uh-huh. you know, being stuck in the bed for 3 months.
Yeah.
I can't just lay there and just let them tell me anything. Mm-hmm. And especially with them telling me to terminate.
Right.
And that I wouldn't make it through. And they would come at these number of weeks and they would have these amount of problems. And it was just a blessing that I delivered them 2 months early at 32 weeks.
Gosh.
But
they
are perfectly healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The pediatricians, the doctors were shocked, talking about these are like super babies.
Yeah.
Thought they were, you know, they were bigger than single babies as they were growing inside of me. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, twins normally run small.
Right.
And every time they weighed them, they were bigger than they were supposed to be. So, honestly, I feel like everything was in God's mm-hmm. plan, you know, and it was just meant to be.
That is spectacular. So tell me all about your twins. Because, you know, we've gotten an inside look at how they've thrived, you know, while they were inside. Tell me about their behavior outside. I'll turn my phone off.
They are, they definitely have two different personalities. And they are shaking up the house right now. You know, they are on the go all the time. They are just, listen, they are who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they are here, you know. Everybody caters to them, from us in the house, my daughter, my son, my, you know, their grandparents. They have everyone's full attention.
Yeah.
You know, they're something, moving fast, you know, busybodies, mm-hmm. but we love every minute of it.
So when your younger two or your older two mm-hmm. is like one of them more prone to one, it's like one of them, or they kind of both.
In the beginning, my daughter didn't want twin boys. She mm-hmm. wanted girls.
Yeah, of course.
So at the gender reveal, she showed her butt. You know, but she
like,
loves them.
Mommy.
Yeah, she loves them to death now. Yeah. She's like mommy number two. Whatever mm-hmm. I can do, she's right there to do. She was she still is a big help. You know, to me and my husband. My son, he's a boy. You know, he comes in when they're asleep, wake them up. You know, does little boy stuff. You know, so. But they both love the boys.
That's so good.
So much.
Yeah. Now, we see, because, like, when you show pictures, like, you have them dressed like twins, and they're dressed alike. They're so cute. Yeah. Like, they're
What's
so cute.
What's the point of being twins? They don't look the same all the time. People talk about me, talking about why they have the same pajamas on. Because they're twins.
Right. We're going to just keep it rolling.
I go into the store. If I don't see two of the same size, ma'am, I should go to the back and find this in a size. Right
now. Right. That is so cute. So your husband, how is he feeling about it? Like, he's like, okay, Jazz, we're done. We're going to shoot for five.
No,
or
we're both done.
We're both done. That's it.
Listen, that was it. We were on the same page with
okay.
that.
Okay.
You know, that's the grand finale right there.
Okay.
Two
so,
at one time.
And I get it. And I get it because, look, I'm done with two because everybody's like, Jazz, shoot for a girl. I'm like, I'm good because my niece had her girls while mm-hmm. I was having my boys. So we're like a blue. Like, we're going to blend them all together. We're good.
Right.
We're good. We're good. So how was Mother's Day for you? Like, what did you guys do? Was it just chill? Like, what did you do for Mother's Day?
They made Mother's Day really big for me because mm-hmm. The last 2 years have been really hard.
Yeah.
Because one, they were away from me for 3 months. I was in the hospital. The year before that was COVID. Yeah. I couldn't do anything for my birthday. So I told them Mother's Day has to be like...
Just make it grand.
Right. So, you know, my daughter, she's the new me. Mm-hmm. So she picked all my gifts. Of course, my husband was like, Jasmine, you find this. So she picked all my gifts. Whenever they delivered, they made a big, you know, big deal out of it. So Mother's Day was
great. That's awesome. Yeah. So kudos, and kudos to your husband for making sure that it did go very well for you. And I couldn't imagine, like, I'm listening to your story, and I know, you know, everyone remembers how COVID was. You know, we are outside now, and people are really acting as if we're outside now. But, you know, you telling that story made me remember that there was a time where, you know, people were laying in the hospital and they were by themselves. And so I cannot even imagine. I can partially imagine not having someone there, because for some reason it was all love, like when I had my first son. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it felt so lonely when I had London. Like, it was people there at the beginning, but it's like I didn't have as nearly many visitors, you know, after that. And just it not being COVID and not seeing my room full of people, I was like, oh my God, like nobody is here. Right. Like, where are the people?
Right.
So I can't imagine, like, you literally not being allowed to have someone there. So so we see your strength, Jazz. We see that you have faith, which are two great characteristics to have. And you have to have, I think, both of those when you're in this industry that you're in. Mm-hmm. This industry that you're in, this industry and world of fashion, is very finicky, is very vain. Very superficial, but it's very beautiful, and it brings out your creativity and all of those good things. So take us through your journey of wanting to become a fashion designer. When did you decide this is actually something that I want to do? This is my passion.
It came honestly out of a whim, like out of nowhere. In high school, I always like didn't want anybody to have anything I had on. To the point where I went and bought some shoes, and I went to school and somebody had my shoes on, so I went right back to the mall.
Listen, wait, you are a sneakerhead, though. Tabby, you kind of a sneakerhead. Okay.
Now, I do it for the kids. Now, I don't do it for myself.
Okay.
Yeah, so like, I just didn't want to dress like anybody. And then, so after I graduated, I took a year off after high school because I went to Texas for college and then came back. So I took a year off before I went to the Tampa school.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was I was watching like a red carpet event, you know, like E! On the red carpet or something like that.
Yeah.
And somebody had something on that was ugly. Who it was, I don't know. I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
But before I even knew it, I got a piece of paper and started sketching what I wanted them to wear.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was doing. I just was doing it.
Yeah.
And my husband saw what I was doing, and he was like, you should go to fashion design school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how it all happened, because I had never even thought about going to fashion design school or if that was even an option.
Yeah.
So once we did that, we found a school. Luckily, it was one in Tampa. I started and, you know, graduated in 3 years. So it's like I graduated at the same time I should have if I went to a major university.
Yeah.
Because I think I was just dedicated, like, you know, going every night, four nights a week.
Every night.
Working full time. You know, I was extremely dedicated only because I'm very much a person that proves people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people doubted the fact that, one, that I would continue to college once I came back. Two, that I would even, that fashion design was even a real career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was, you know, hell-bent on proving everybody wrong that ever said that, oh, you stupid for going to fashion design school.
Yeah.
You're never going to do anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think I've made it, but I've definitely proven my point that
I was going to say, you've covered some territory now.
Yeah, I've done a little bit.
You've covered some territory. I think that it's scary because a lot of people don't know the ins and outs of it. It's also scary because a lot of people don't see people who look like us, per se, who are big in the industry, because we still buy your, like I said before, your Chanel's, your Versace's, your Gucci's and all of that. And so how was it for you getting people to want to wear your brand? Like, when did you decide, listen, I want to have my own brand versus being the buyer or a designer for a certain house who has already established their name?
Honestly, it was happenstance, honestly. Okay. So working my job, I end up not quitting, but retiring once I had my second child.
Listen, you the second person on my... where y'all getting all this money where y'all can just retire? Like, I'm trying to figure this out. Let me go talk to my financial advisors right now. Look, everybody's talking about it. They can retire. Can I retire? What's going on?
So I took the little retirement money and I was like, one, because I'm not from Polk County. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm from Texas. I went to school in Fort Meade for 2 years mm-hmm. and then graduated. So 2 years, people don't really know me like that.
Yeah.
And then maybe in Fort Meade they knew me, but they definitely didn't know me in Lakeland mm-hmm. where I moved to. So I was like, how do I trick people into buying from me? And so from that point, I started making t-shirts.
Right.
You know, I customized t-shirts for like football teams and baby showers or whatever. So that's how I kind of snuck into that. Mm-hmm. So more people would know me. I got more people on Facebook to see what I was doing through my t-shirts. Mm-hmm. So then in 2013, I found Walk This Way, and I saw they were doing fashion shows.
Right.
But they weren't implementing fashion designers. So I reached out and asked them, could I showcase my designs in their fashion show? And they said yes, charged me a little fee. And that's really how I got started to build my confidence into starting my own line.
And I'm going to tell you, people used to look forward to her set. Like I said, in my previous episode, I used to be the host for their shows. And like whenever people would know that this is Jay Hunt, like people were like, yes. And even I'm like, I'm on the sidelines. I'm like, okay, I want that piece. Like, oh, I love that piece. I love that piece. And it's like, you know, you became well known as someone that you really could just take an idea to and you could make it. And I think those people who are so creative like that, like you are the bomb. So it's like, how do you see? Well, first of all, let's go back. So your show, talk to me about that very first show that you did, because this is your line. This is your show. How did you prep for it? Did you do it on your own? Were you a one man band? Like,
you mean my show or the first Walk This Way show?
The first Walk This Way collection, your collection that you did in Walk This Way.
It was hard because at the academy, mm-hmm. they didn't teach you how to make clothes for a real body. So exactly. I had to go on a quick learning curve. Like in school, I was making clothes for a small mannequin, you know, but we Walk This Way, the models, you know, got booty and boobies and, you know,
right.
they're tall, they're short, they're mm-hmm. this.
Of
so
all sizes.
I had to quickly learn how to adjust to make clothes for real people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nerve-wracking. I was very scared, but it ended up working out, and I cried like a baby once it was over. Because one, I was stressed. Two, to see my clothing come down the runway was like, you know, an epiphany moment. Like, I can really do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then to get the love that I received after the show was over,
mm-hmm.
you know, none of these people know me.
Yeah.
Like, nobody knew me. Like, when I did my first show, like I said, I'm not from Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
So to get the love that I received, it really helped me with my confidence into going forward.
Talk to me, because I was trying to remember, give me a description of like one of the pieces that you had in that show. Do you remember?
I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it.
Just for me.
It was, that show was really the beginning. Like, it was, but I'm not going to downplay it.
Okay.
It was more color. It was very colorful.
Because I'm telling you, in my brain, that's all I see. But I'm like, I can't remember.
It was colorful. Uh-huh. It was colorful. It was some pieces that I was really proud of.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was still finding myself. Yeah. I was trying to fit into what other people were doing mm-hmm. that I saw, like, on Instagram or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it was
colorful. You're just gonna say it was a collection.
It was something.
So go to your next collection, because after that, you know, you were in that fashion show. You said you received a lot of positive feedback from that show.
I will say from the first show, mm-hmm. I will say I sold my first piece from the show. The model that mm-hmm. wore that piece mm-hmm. bought her piece.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was the first time I sold one of my own original designs. I cannot remember her name.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, did you feel that looking back now on that experience, do you feel that you shortchanged yourself, like with your pricing, your price points?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't you
oh,
hate yeah. that? I'm like, oh, I charged how much to do this?
Yes. I definitely did. But I still feel like sometimes I still shortchange myself now.
Yeah.
Only because of where we are.
Yeah.
Because the things that I do and people who are in bigger cities, mm-hmm. more fashion cities, they charge a lot more than I charge.
Right.
But, you know, I get a lot of feedback with people saying, oh, you charge too much. Mm-hmm. You know, so I kind of try to balance the scales.
Yeah.
You know, because I still have to make money.
Yes, you do. Let me tell you something. So, like, and we'll go back on the trajectory because I want to stay at this price point piece for a second because I saw, like, Jazz came out with this line that she kind of got into peplums. And it's like people, they didn't really know what a peplum was.
No.
They didn't really know what a peplum was. So I'm like, mm-hmm. when she started doing this, I'm like, oh, yes, I can hide my tummy. Like, she knows what mm-hmm. she's doing.
I did the super long one on one side.
Oh, my gosh. So listen.
I'm not going to say I started it, but.
Listen, we'll give you that. We'll give you that. Because listen, I still have. So I did a show. I did a fashion show. And I think it was for Adoria. I did her class fashion show. I hosted it, and it was right after I had London. So I was like a new mom, and I was like, okay, yes, peplum, because I'm going to hide this tummy mm-hmm. a little bit. And then I had a flowy train. And so what I liked about Jazz is, listen, I went into her showroom. I was like, look, I'm feeling her material.
Not showroom, my little bedroom.
I went to her extravagance. Showroom where she only lets a select few come in. So like I'm looking at fabrics and I'm like she's letting me design this outfit with her. She's sketching as I'm talking and it was just like it morphed into okay, well Jazz, you probably don't want this fabric there or like I'm like I want like it sheer here. Mm-hmm. I want it there. Like we designing this together. And I promise you, like when I went for my fitting and then when I went to try it on, like I felt fantastic, beautiful, marvelous, darling. Like, and I'm like, now you charge me about $150. Now we talking about price point, and I'm cheap. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I like for other people to buy stuff, but when I say I was like, heck yeah, I'll pay that. Like, even though that was outside of my price point, I'm like, you have gotten someone to spend all of this time. She's going to the store to buy the material that you said you wanted. She's fitting you. This is time. This is talent. And honestly, that's really nothing because like what people are paying right now, like that really is a bargain. Because I didn't look.
It wouldn't be $150 today.
Listen, yesterday's price is not today's price. Honey. It's not. And so like I'm like, oh, because I'm telling you what I'm wearing right now. No lie, it is not even over $20 because I'm a bargain shopper. Like my eye is, I like to choose like inexpensive pieces and make it look like something else like that. If I was into fashion, that would be my niche, is to make affordable pieces look spectacular. So, but I paid and I like, I'll do it again. Like whatever your price point is, because you do amazing work and it's very detailed. It's unique, you know, it's one of a kind. And so definitely pay, you know, you're definitely worth the penny.
Thank you.
You know, and we're gonna say pennies because like she said, if she was in LA, if she was in New York, if she was in Atlanta, you would be paying a pretty penny. So after that first fashion show, what was your marketing plan? What was in your brain? What did you set as your next step?
Honestly, it was getting to know the body better. Mm-hmm. So that when I made clothes for people, it fit how it should fit. Because mm-hmm. like I said, how I learned in the school was not mm-hmm. how it's going to fit on the body. So even now, like I try to educate myself as mm-hmm. much as I can to make things fit the way they should properly. Like I want, when you get something from me, it's like, you know, it looks like you got it from someone in Italy or whatever. Like I want you to know that mm-hmm. I took my time on it.
Right.
Because I'm in a class right now trying to learn how to make bridal wear the better. You know yeah. what I mean? I'm so glad
that you went in that avenue.
Like
yeah.
I want, if you're going to pay the money, it needs to be something that's going to last. And I, not to say that stuff mm-hmm. before didn't, because mm-hmm. I honestly, this year I've seen 3 things that I made probably 5 years ago. They recycled it and wore it again this
Listen,
year.
I'm telling you, I still got mine.
So, I think from that point, I just wanted to just hone in on being the best designer I could yeah. be with fabric selection, fit, you know, top to bottom, doing yeah. my absolute best that I could do.
Okay. And so you've gotten some, first of all, let's talk about New York Fashion Week. How did you land a spot there?
A person who was running a production for New York Fashion Week reached out to me.
Did you still keep connections with people at the school, like at IADT?
Yeah, I reached out to someone there, but they didn't have the connect that I needed for not for New York. But I think he was more connected to like Miami Fashion Swim Week or something.
Okay,
like that.
Okay.
But yeah, most of the places, things that I've done, I've researched on my own and made those connections on my own. It's been really hard for me. Nothing comes easy for me, in my opinion. Like, everything that you see me do, I've worked for, I've reached out to, I've begged and pleaded to make it happen. So I reached out to the guy on Instagram. He told me how much it was to showcase, and, you know, I tried to put my best work on the runway.
Yeah, and you did. Like, I think for me, just looking from the outside in, that to me is where and when people were like, oh, I've got to have a J. Hunt custom design. Like, did you see your business boom or increase in sales from that showing, or was it still the organic, you know, foot on the you know,
no,
on the pavement?
I think it increased a bit. I think I have my base people. They're really good at sharing my work. They're good at tagging me or tagging other people in my work. And that's really how I've organically created my following base. I can say to this day, I have not paid for any marketing. I have not paid for any Instagram boost or any influence. I haven't paid for anything. Everything that I have, all the following that I have, the money that I made has been organically through people who just believe in me from seeing the things that I've done. Not to say that I won't do it in the future.
Yeah.
But up to this point, I have not paid any for any marketing.
That's a blessing.
It's all been word of mouth.
That is a blessing. Yeah. Good Lord, girl. Yeah. Like, I listen, we learned today.
I'm a little cheap.
Listen, I'm like,
paying somebody to wear my clothes that I just made.
I know. It's like, come on, man. Yeah, but hey, I can imagine, like, when you really do decide to put a budget into that marketing, like, that's going
to
be amazing.
But you have to be ready for it. That's
I was
going to
say, like our, like, mass production, to me, that would scare me, because that's a whole other
avenue. That's why I haven't done it, because
avenue.
When you get, you know, somebody to wear it on Instagram, and then you get all these followers and all these people inbox you, you have to be ready for it. And not to say I'm not ready for, like, the orders. I'm not ready for the demand of it, you know, because I'm still a one-man show.
Right.
I'm making it. I'm patterning it. I'm buying the fabric. I'm doing this. I'm doing the little social media posts. Everything is me.
Yeah, I see you on TikTok. I see you,
know,
ticking and talking.
I got to keep up with the children.
Yes, you do. and then we're going to move, like, we're going to segue to that because, you know, like, Amber Streeter, like, Seven Streeter, like, you know, famous musician, R&B artist from Haines City, Florida. Shout out to Polk County. But doing her thing on a mass scale. And so to see you guys form a partnership, and you've done some of her show outfits, outfits for tours. And she's, you know, done promo for you, et cetera. How did that feel?
It felt really good. From that, a lot of demand came from that. That I definitely was not ready for, but I did appreciate everything that they've done for me. And I mean, I still have them, you know, in my contact list. I'm just not the type of person to beat down anybody's door. You know what I mean? I don't want to feel like I'm a burden.
Yeah.
But whenever they need me, I'm definitely there. But if I ever need them, I definitely will send a little text. If I need it, you know, if I have to be like, you know, hey, you want to wear this, you know? But
Let you call me.
I mean, I take everything in God's time. Like, it's crazy. Right before the pandemic hit, like 2020, I was in contact with Ashanti. I was supposed to style her or dress her for the Millennium Tour, but COVID hit and concerts got shut down. So that was a major blow for me. But I just feel like
it's something it's gonna happen.
You know, I feel like maybe I wasn't, you know, Millennium Tour, that's a big stage. You know, Ashanti, that's a big artist. And I just feel like God knows what I need and what I don't. Yeah. So I accept whatever comes and whatever doesn't. It wasn't meant for me anyway.
Yeah. And that's a very good perspective to have, because it is so true. It's amazingly true. And if you get someone like that on your roster, yeah, you definitely have to be ready. So you know how sometimes these opportunities, like you said, you've already said it, I'm just repeating it, but these opportunities knock on our doors and we're like, oh, this is it, or I just missed it. And it's like, no, maybe God needed you to chill for a second, because where he's going to take you, he needs to prepare you to be ready for what's to come. And so, like, when you said you need to keep up with the children, with the kids, and so you have been, because if your child has not purchase, or you have not purchased or been on her waiting list, because I know you have to have a waiting list, prom season and homecoming season, this is the it designer. So tell me how that came about. And it's like, you know, that Miami flair just kind of came right on up to Polk County. It's like, it's the feathers, it's the multi-layers of the, it, I'm like, look at Jazz, like, these are freaking wedding gowns that these kids are
elevated to. These kids are going to wedding at 18. You know? But, I mean, I've been doing prom for a little while. I mean, I think as far as long as I've been a designer, a few girls reached out to me like, hey, I don't want nothing in the store. Can you make it? And every year just slowly increase. And, yeah, I love the prom season. Yeah. It's stressful.
Yeah,
it's very stressful.
Listen, I was like, I'll take whenever you can get in, because like I knew she was busy, so I'm like, look, whenever you can come.
I think,
like,
I just finished my last prom dress this week, and it got shipped to St. Louis.
Wow,
last one.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I've done some. I do out of state. People reach out to me, so that's why, to me, like, getting to know, like, knowing what the I'm body. Doing with the fit, knowing the body, because when they get it, it has to fit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and every time I shoot one, it fits. So
that's, so the one that you did for Mocha Glam, shout out to Mocha Glam. I gotta shout you out. Like, that dress on her daughter, that was beautiful. And I don't know why I didn't think that you made it, but it's like when you started promoting for that one, I think you did the some of the promo today. It's like, of course Jazz made that. Of course that's Jay Hunt. But that dress was beautiful.
Thank you.
And the orange one, that was one of my
favorites. Everybody loves that one.
That orange one was
the bomb. Everybody loved that orange one.
Yes.
And it was really simple. It wasn't like a really detailed dress, but she just killed it.
She did. So how important is it for the styling for you? Because, you know, you can do the gown and all that. Do you ever offer styling services? Like, I think that this dress would pop if your hair was like this, or if you wore these jewels or these shoes.
They always organically ask me that in a fitting anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when they come for their first fitting and they seeing it on their body, they're like, ooh, how can I do my hair? Can I do this? And I just say, well, I think this would look better with a strappy heel. I think this would look better if your hair was, you know, curly into the side. And so I do offer that to most of the girls, and most of them listen.
Yeah.
So, and then for some of the girls who are local, and I have a bulk. Let's say I have a lot of girls who go to Kathleen. I'm doing a lot of dresses. I'll go to their location where they are. Mm-hmm. You know, most likely they go to Lake Hollinsworth, or where they go? Lake Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll style, you know, I'll make sure their dress is right for all their dresses. Like, I did that for Fort Meade this year. I did four dresses in Fort Meade.
Yeah.
And I'll say, hey, no pictures. Let me fluff out the train. Let me get it right. You know, a picture is everything. Like, I can make a dress and make it look good. But if they don't get that right moment with the dress looking right, you know, that's what really makes it.
So, listen, that's above and beyond right there. To me, I'm listening to it.
Those dresses are my babies. Those are my children.
I'm listening. I'm like, that's
children. A lot of the girls, like, depending on what type of dress they get, like, you know, in fitting, I have to see them, you know, a little bit how they don't want me to see them. Like, look, we have the same thing. I don't want you. But I want to make sure this dress fit.
Right.
And then one girl I messed with this year, I had to, like, kind of, she had a bigger bust. So I had to go in and kind of adjust. I'm like, look, we go together now, so don't even worry about it. We go together.
Push them up. Push them up. So do you ever, how do you catalog all of this? Because, you know, you have your showroom. How do you keep your portfolio of all the work that you've done? Is it more digital, or
it's Instagram. Honestly, that's really, and I try to, my phone has too many pictures in it.
Like,
my phone really has over 20,000 pictures. Like, from screenshots. Listen, I'm stalking y'all. After I send y'all dress off, I'm stalking you. I'm screenshotting, like, okay. You know, but I just, Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's really where I can see like myself grow. Yeah. And that's why I haven't deleted my older stuff. So please don't scroll all the way to the bottom of my Instagram.
Because that'll be, but, that was me. Right. Doing research on you. I'm like, dang, I can't find the first collection. Right.
So I did do that. Yeah. I'm like, I have really come a long way. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I have them all in my phone. Mm-hmm. And I can remember like, I'll remember a dress before I remember a girl's face. It's really sad. Yeah. But I remember you from 2018. I remember I made that dress, you know, but... I try to keep track of everything. Eventually, cool. I'll make mm-hmm. a real portfolio. That's eventually cool. When I have time.
That's cool. So look, I hope you get so much business like from this episode because you deserve it. And I know that it's going to open up for you when it should open up. And just like when we're talking about open up, you know, you have yet another avenue that you're in, and the avenue that you're going in right now, this is really like the moneymaker when you have that bridal title under your belt. And so were you afraid to venture off into bridal? Because I'm going to tell you, for me, like I want a custom gown made, but you're not going to play with my dress. Like you can't give me no cheap fabric and charge this much. But you know, when you put bridal in front of anything, you're into a whole nother price point.
Right.
So how has that journey into bridal been for you? And why did you want to go that avenue?
The crazy thing is, the first dress I ever made was a wedding gown.
Really?
First one. Okay. I was in school. A girl that I worked with, she was my friend. She was getting married. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even graduated fashion design school yet. Yeah. You know, but she knew I was in fashion design school. She saw me come in sketching and stuff, doing break and all of that. She was like, I need you to make my wedding dress.
Look, first of all, this girl is a beast at sketching. Like, you just need to do a sketching video because I know you used to do them. Like, put up, like, for old time's sakes, do a sketching video. Then she went all digital and stuff. And I'm like, well, do it, Jazz.
Everything is on the iPad.
Right. I'm like, this girl, because that's how you sketch my outfit. Yeah. I was like, wait, what you doing? And I'm like,
it wasn't an iPad back then. It was something else. But...
Yes. I'm sorry. I just had to interject because amazing.
But, but that was the first thing I ever made before I even graduated. And, you know, I have pictures of that. I probably should do it before and after or whatever. But that was the first thing. So with that being the first thing I ever made, I always wanted to go into bridal, but I was a little scared because of, you know, knowing that it's bridal. Yeah. It's somebody's big day. Yeah. But it's a lot that goes into wedding dresses that people don't know. You know, the understructure of it, the care for, like, white. Let me tell you a horror story.
Okay.
I made a wedding dress, and people always ask me why I don't get my nails done. Like, I don't put any color on my nails. Mm-hmm. I don't polish them. I don't do anything. I made a wedding dress. I had my nails polished. Thought I was cute.
Yes.
Working on something, and the polish came off on the dress.
Oh, my God.
So I had to, I don't know if I redid the dress or if I covered it with something, but that was like a hard moment for me. I was like, dang, what am I going to do? So, I don't wear nail polish, but I love working on wedding dresses. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to make sure everything is pristine in the room. Like, anything left over from a previous dress can't get on that dress. I have to make sure my sewing machine is dusted.
Your utensils,
because when you go through there, any piece of oil could like stain the dress. Like, it's a lot that goes into it because it is white. Yes. And white catches everything.
It does.
But I'm definitely up for the challenge.
So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So body type. Let's talk body type. So like, we know that I love a good mermaid dress. I love an empire, you know, waist as well. But I'm more so like into like the mermaid look, but I have a little tummy. I have a little gut. So what's like the best way to structure that? Like, if I came in and I said, this is the type of dress that I want, like, what would be your go-to suggestions for me?
If you're stuck on a mermaid, then you would definitely have to get something with a like understructure built in. You would have to have a corset that's going to cinch you in, which is going to flatter your figure. It's going to cinch you in your waist, going to, you know, kind of show your hips off a little more. So, but if you didn't want to pay for the understructure, then you'll probably have to go more into a A-line or ball gown world.
Yeah.
If you were, you know, stuck on that. But if you didn't, we could also do appliques to conceal it. I'm doing a wedding dress for somebody right now where she wanted a mermaid. She was stuck on a mermaid, but she wanted to cover this. So we're going to cover that with some, you know, sparkly pretty things.
Okay.
You know, it's gonna cover right on up.
Yes, I love that. And so, like, for different dresses, because a lot of people don't understand like the structure part of it, but then it's like the material part of it too, because there's some material that you just, you probably like for body types, I feel like you should just stay away from. So yeah, like when you're talking about bridal, what's your favorite material? Because there's some materials that don't give. And when we're talking about give, it's not going to stretch. It's going to cinch you in. So what's your favorite bridal material to work with?
I would say anything that has a little stretch to it. Everything nowadays is gearing toward comfort.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of fabrics that have the structure, but have a little bit of stretch to it. Because you got to think, when you get to your wedding and you get to your reception, you are not going to be cute. You're going to be dancing. You're going to want to drop it. A lot of my people want to drop.
Right.
So we have to have a little stretch so that you don't bust out the seams. Mm-hmm. So definitely things that have a little bit of stretch so that it adds comfort to it.
So what are some tricks of the trade for those of us who are not as busty as your client that you mentioned before? What are some tricks that we...
I'm not busty either.
So listen, Kindred Sisters, what I'm like, first of all, I was looking at the previous episode and I was like, look at the girl sitting all nice. So, okay, so give us some hints on what can we do.
As far as
enhancing that part of the body. Because I'm going to tell you, some designers, they need to be ashamed of themselves. Like, you know how, like, they'll put, like, the little cups and it's not, like, no, you're not doing that. Like what? How can you make it more fitted for the person? Like, more tailored to the person?
Yeah, when you tailor it, especially if you're going to get a strapless, I did a dress that a lot of people love. I did a burgundy velvet strapless dress.
Oh my God. I think that was one of the ones that I posted because I love that.
And she was not busty, but the way you fit it to kind of push up and give that illusion at the top. That's how you get that little illusion.
Right.
Nobody's going to know.
Right.
But let me get that little illusion for the picture.
So we got to just suck.
Yeah.
Because when you suck, you automatically kind of sit up.
You don't have to be down here. It's like up here. Just how you make it, pull it a little tighter, you know, and then it's a little bit of you kind of going inside and, you know.
Tip. So another tip. Okay, we have some people who are well endowed in the back area, and some who are not. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone that's coming in who's not, what's your solution for that?
I actually have somebody right now who wants to look bigger, but she's not. She's getting a wedding dress, so she wanted the ruching where it adds volume.
Yes,
but there's no volume. So when you look at her, look, she has a little butt, but she knows she don't.
Right.
So, you know, it's just an illusion, you know, just play with it. You know, adding a little more fabric, gathering it together, and making it like you have something that you don't.
Got you. So what's your favorite moment in fashion? Like something that's so memorable for you and you're like, this is why I started doing this. Can you think of something that just really puts you in that mindset of, that was a dope moment. This is why I'm doing this.
Oh, I would say the biggest one would be New York Fashion Week. But other small moments would be just when a client comes in and they love what they have on. You know, I would say one of my more recent ones, I think a girl named Destiny. When I tell you, she called everybody in her family in my workroom. Yes. Her and her mom FaceTime everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, she finna kill him at prom. Oh, Miss J, you did that. Duh. You know, those are the small moments that this is why I do this. You know, you'll have bad clients every now and then. Thankfully, I didn't have any bad prom clients this year, but you know, those are the moments that really keep me going.
Yeah. And so if you had to look back on it, what would you consider to be like your comeback story? Because I feel like you've given us a timeline of, you know, your career. You know, we know the story behind motherhood and how at some point it could have been dangerous for you. What do you consider to be like that comeback story for you?
I would say just me, you know, persevering through everything I've been through in the last 2 years. You know, I think before I was just, you know, coasting, pushing hard, not saying no to anybody. And I think, you know, God stopped me. He put me on pause, helped me to reflect because that moment of time, you know, I didn't work for a whole year. You know, Jay Hunt didn't do anything for a year. And in that time, it showed me that with or without me, life is going to go on. People are going to find other people.
Right.
You know, so it's best for me to take on the clients that I feel will benefit my end goal of my brand. You know, I don't have to say yes to everybody. You know, I don't have to take on every client. I don't have to work into the ground. You know, I just need to be able to take time. Like, I don't want, with me doing this all on my own, I want to be able to have time to breathe. And before, I wasn't. I was just working day in, day out. So now I think my comeback story is just going to that next level, whether it be bridal, whether it be evening gowns, whether it be both, you know. And then I think, not now, because I have my babies and, you know, those are my world. But I think eventually I want to open a bridal salon in Lakeland. That's my goal. Is to have a bridal salon. You can come in, you know.
What does your client look like, a Jay Hunt client? What's your ideal client?
Somebody with no budget. No.
Listen. Speaking into the atmosphere. Get your coins right. Get your coins right.
Yes, but no.
Because we'll do a show like where, you know, you have to have those feel good moments or those like, okay, this is a bride that I just gifted this to or whatever. But, you know, she has to get to that point. So y'all got to pay
her. I've done that. I just didn't do it this year. I used to do Jay Hunt prom giveaway. I think I did it for 4 years.
Yes, you did.
I did it for 4 years. I gave away a prom dress every year. I didn't do it this year because I didn't take as many clients. And plus, I was coming from not working for a year. So I'm trying to get back to the savings that I had. But yeah, I did that. But my ideal client would be just someone who's receptive to my opinion. You know, not someone bringing me something that want me to replicate. And I think I'm finna scratch that out totally. I'm no longer replicating anybody else's work. Someone who, you know, like the experience we had, we're designing it together for your body. That's my ideal client who wants to hear what I have to say. I'm listening to what you have to say. I have my point of view in it, and you have your point of view. So that's my ideal client.
Good. So when somebody wears your design, how do you want them to feel? Like the Jay Hunt woman. And then do you want to get into men's apparel? But the Jay, no men.
No men. I had that experience. Men are harder than women.
In what way?
They're more picky.
Really?
Very much so.
Let's find out that you guys are being divos.
No menswear. Menswear is out.
Really?
Unless I mass produce, I don't want to customize anything for me.
What have they wanted you to do? Like jackets or?
Yeah, I've done prom suits and shirts.
And they're more picky.
That's so funny to me. Their body is different, so it has to fit a certain way. And I'm used to, you know, curves and tight. And men, like, there's a little bit, you know, it has to be a little slim here and wider here. It's hard, you know.
Okay.
I still have a few men clients that I deal with, of course.
Just a select few.
Small.
So when people, when women, because Jay Hunt is exclusively for women, except for her particulars, but for women, the woman who wears Jay Hunt, how do you want them to feel? Like, you think your clothing incites what into a client?
Confidence, you know, is the main thing. I want people to be confident about who they are in that moment, what their body looks like. You know, I want them to be very confident in who they are when they walk in a Jay Hunt piece. You know, not self-conscious, not worried about, you know, and I'm saying this because I nearly need to say it to myself because I'm very shy and reserved. But I want them to be able to walk into a room and own it, you know. So
I was going
to
say, when you put on your clothes, like we all saw you on that runway, like when you had, I'm like, okay, Jazz, stilettos.
I don't do the, you know, but like you said, when I'm working, I look nothing like this. I'm like a whole homeless person, you know. But that's
She's still cute.
I try to be.
But yeah, so you are totally amazing. I think the final question that I want to ask you is: a celebrity, is there a specific person that you know that you would love to be hired to design? And then, who would be your ideal celebrity client?
I love Ciara. I love Teyana Taylor. I don't know. Okay. I have a lot of celebrities that I like.
Yeah, okay. Because the people that you just named are people that I feel like have your personality.
Like
the tomboyish side, but when they pop out, like So I like that. Is it anybody like local around that you're like, that you look at and you're like, I would love to style that person?
Anybody come knock on my door.
Y'all, but you hear her.
You hear her. Everybody can come. Everybody. All of you celebrities to me.
You'll do kids. Like, what ages would you prefer to design for? Or is it just like anyone?
I just did a little girl. What was her name? Bailey? I think it was Bailey. Mm-hmm. I just did her. They had a kid prom. I'm going to post that video tomorrow. Yeah, so I did kids. Yes. She wants to be a mini fashion designer. And I tell you, her... Was it Bailey? I forget.
Okay.
Don't be mad at me. But yeah, her and her little sister were in my room taking pictures of the mannequins, filling on the fabrics, you know, so she's a mini fashion designer. So that was really, really cute. But yeah, I did her. I think she's four.
Okay.
So, you know, that age and up is
so
good.
Four and up. So we're okay. So that market is wide open. So go ahead. And I want you to tell everyone, first of all, thank you so much for being on the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. Like I've felt that you were dynamic ever since the days of, look, I was about to say his name all on camera, giving people all shout outs or whatever, but I'm gonna have to ask you about him when we get off camera and stuff. It was only like just how many
years ago.
Right. So, I'm so happy about the way that your career has blossomed. And I really didn't even know that story that, I mean, you started, honestly, you kind of started late. Like, you know, normally when we hear about people being fashion designers, it's like, oh, as a little girl, in tea parties and all. So it's like for you to just start like after seeing a show with someone and you're like, if I were to design it, that's so dope to me. And you definitely are proving people wrong. If there's anybody who needs to be proven wrong at this point, because I feel that you've made an imprint in Lakeland. You know, you've been to New York Fashion Week. You've done several fashion shows, personalized styling and taking prom season by storm, now taking bridal season by storm. And so I feel like your future is bright, and I hope you continue. I hope your reach continues, and I hope that, you know, you get to that point, if that's where you want to go, to mass produce. So I want you to go ahead and pub yourself, shout out your socials. How can people get in contact with you? How can people book you?
You can reach me on Facebook, Jay Hunt Designs, JayHuntDesigns. Same thing, Instagram, Jay Hunt Designs. TikTok, Jay Hunt Designs. I think that's it. Instagram, yes. Facebook.
She's TikTok, in here.
Yeah, everything is Jay Hunt Designs.
Yes.
With an S on the end, everything.
So, all right. So, make sure that you subscribe to, you follow all and anything Jay Hunt Designs with an S. So, we're definitely going to support you. I'm definitely going to promote this show. This show will air on Monday on, I'm taking us to December, in May. So, May 31st, we're going to be spotlighting your episode on Memorial Day. So listen, while you guys are at the beach, while you guys are riding on your way, whatever you're doing to your barbecue, hey, put this podcast episode on and just let it play. So this has been episode 31 of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast with my special guest, Miss Jasmine Hunter of Jay Hunt Designs. And of course, I entitled this show High Fashion because that's exactly what it is. Because Jazz, what did we say? Yesterday's price is not today's price. Okay. So pay her for what she's worth. And so follow me, like, subscribe, engage Jazzy, JAZZIE, Jazzy Conversations with Jazz on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and on TikTok, Jazzmar, JASMAR 1024. So I will see you back for another episode. Thank you for tuning in.